those little ones for Children's Church.
Adios, muchachos.
Peter asked me to speak a little bit this morning on our new sermon series, The Testimony of Thankfulness. And today the sermon series is Thankful for Life. And so when thinking about life, I think about what I do for a living. And what I do is I teach second grade. And this year I have 15 children or 15 lives that I have an impact on every day, as well as they have an impact on me. As a teacher, I'm to look at each student and determine physical, emotional, mental needs, and figure out where I need to go from there. And so, as a good teacher would, I take a few statistics and see what I can learn from all these things and see where I need to go. So I'm going to share a few of those statistics with you this morning. 9 out of 15 of them are boys, which means I have a very slim amount that are girls. 6 out of 15 are girls. 7 out of 15 have brown hair, and 4 out of 15 have green eyes. 8 out of 15 claim that their favorite color was blue on the day that I asked this question, because they've probably already changed their mind about it. 5 out of 15 prefer math to reading, and 10 out of 15 can tie their shoes. So I'm tying how many sets of shoes are reading. 11 out of 15 belong to a mixed or split family, and 5 out of 15 go to church, but 3 attend regularly and have a home church that they say they're a member of. And after sharing only a handful of the statistics that I gather from my students every year, I'll tell you this. I worry about all 15 of them. I go home and I think, what else could I do for those 15? I think about who they're with, if they were in a safe environment, if they had a safe place to be, if they're with their parents, if they're with someone else, if they're being taken care of, if they ate dinner, if they're sick, if they're going to show up the next day, and if they were read a bedtime story. Then, when I'm done worrying all there is to worry, or I think I'm done worrying, or I think I'm done knowing all there is to know about all of my students, I think of no one can know these students like I know them. There's no possible way that I could tell you everything that I want you to know about each individual one. And I think no one could understand or care as much as I care. But the thing is that selfishly I think all of those things, that no one can understand my reasons, or no one can understand my dynamics or my way of doing things or my way of impacting. And the thing is, Satan tells me that I should worry, and Satan tells me that they're my students. But the thing is, they're not mine. They were just entrusted to me for a little bit of time. On the days when worry is too much, or when I'm feeling defeated, or I feel like no one cares about those 15 lives, or mine, or what I'm doing with it, there is a small whisper from God that gives me a new set of statistics to look at. 15 out of 15 of my students are known by God. And 15 out of 15 students go home and God looks out for them. 15 of 15 students were chosen and set apart to be in my class because God not only has a plan for them, but he has a plan for me in their life. 15 of my 15 students are more cared for by God than any other creature on earth. And he provides all their needs and takes care of them even more than the sparrows and the lilies. 15 of my 15 students have hair on their head, and God not only took the time to count and place them on their head, but he could also tell me every detail of how they were made and what they will grow into being. Most of all, Christ died for 15 of my students' lives because he loved them that much. And he died not just for them, but for all of his children and for all lives. Because we are children of God and we are lives that God created, I want to restate how God feels about you, his child. You are known by God, and you are cared for and looked out for by God. You were chosen and set apart to be here this morning because God has a plan for you. You are loved by God with an unfailing and immeasurable love that endures forever. And you are more cared for by God than any creature on earth. And God will provide all your needs as he provides for the sparrows and the lilies. You have a future and a hope because God made you and has a special plan for each of you this morning. Each of your beloved children and each of the lives that you've brought in here today. The message today is from Psalms 139, and so I'm going to briefly read it. But everywhere there it says me or I want you to put in your name. I want you to actually say it out loud. So this is like a good teacher would. You have to hear from your students. So Psalms 139, if you want to take a minute to go ahead and open up your Bible, or every time I pause, you can say your name. Lord, you have searched and known. I don't hear enough people. Lord, you have searched and known. You know when sits down and when stands up. You understand thoughts from far away, and you observe travels and their rest. You are aware of all. Before a word is on tongue. You know all about it, Lord. You have encircled. You have placed your hand on. This extraordinary knowledge is beyond me. It is lofty, and I am unable to reach it. Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If go up to heaven, you are there. If make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If live at the eastern horizon or settle at the western limits, even there your hand will lead. Your right hand will hold on to. If say, surely the darkness will hide and the light around will be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night shines like the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. For it was you who created my inward parts, and you knit together in my mother's womb. We'll praise you because I have been remarkably and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me when I was formless, and all my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. God, how difficult your thoughts are for me to comprehend, and how vast their sum is. If I counted them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand, and when I wake up, I'm still with you. If you question the value of your life today, or you wonder if your life has meaning, I hope you go back to these scriptures, and everywhere it says me or I, that you fill in your name, because God does take care of us, and we should be thankful for the lives that God has given us.
Amen. Part of the series will feature you as you share testimony in your heart, and you give thanks for what God has done in your life. In today's text, we're in Psalm chapter 139. We're going to read verses 1 through 18. Is everything okay?
No.
Oh. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Sunday. He does all these things, and he prepares awesome breakfast.
be at the end.
You know how we are. We're I'm pushy. You know that.
You just wait. We'll do it at the end.
Teaching of his word and getting to know the people in the church and have that personal relationship and having people that you can actually count on and making new friends and acquaintances, but most importantly, being drawn closer to Jesus.
We have a class for every age. If you were born this week, we'll have your class next Sunday. If you're close to that where you're sliding on. We just want you to know that everybody's welcome, and please come. You're missing a blessing if you're not coming to Sunday school, because it enhances and gets you totally prepared and ready for the great sermon that we hear from our pastor that we appreciate so much. So we invite them next Sunday. It's not this next Sunday. It's this Sunday. We get a special speaker next Sunday. Thank y'all.
Look for each one.
All right, let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 139. We're going to look at verses 1 through 18 today. And actually, we're going to focus on verses 1 through 6 this morning, Psalm 139. You know, I was given the idea and the inspiration for this series not too long ago, actually. I was visiting with a dear church family. And we were discussing, you know, where I felt God was leading us in the Word with our church. And I said, you know, I've got plans for Christmas. I've got plans for next winter. I've got plans for even the spring of next year. But I don't have a plan for after the Under Armour series. And it was said, you know what? There's absolutely nothing wrong with thanking God. And that's true, isn't it? There's absolutely nothing wrong for proclaiming the goodness of God. And I kid you not, when that was said to me, the Holy Spirit began to move on my heart to that request. And he's right, folks. God is good, isn't he? God is good. And you know what? His church needs to hear that God is good. We need to remember that. We need to see that in his word. And God has reminded us of that in our lives as well. Through it all, God is good, isn't he? And so that's where we are today. Rarely do we ever watch the news, or rarely do we ever read the paper or see on social media good news, you know? The world isn't emptied of good news. It's just the world loves to cover and embrace the bad news. And I've said this before. I'm not naive to the fact that bad things happen. I'm not naive or ignorant of bad news. I know that this is a trying time for a lot of people. I know that there are wars. There are rumors of wars, as the scripture says will happen. I know that daily innocent lives are taken. I know that evil and sinful men seem to rise up every single day. I'm aware of the decay and corruption of the world that exists in our culture, in our morals, in our beliefs, in our media, in our government. I'm aware that false doctrine spreads rapidly across the nations. So I'm aware of the bad news, but I'm going to tell you this. I'm also aware of how good God is, and I'm also aware of how faithful God is, and I'm aware of how sovereign God is, and I know that just as much bad news as there is good news today, and that God is on the throne, and God is still accomplishing his good purposes, and God is still about bringing the world to salvation and redemption. And I need you to know today, and I need you to believe this today, as we're going to look into the Word, and as we have been so beautifully told while ago by testimony, you are still the delight of the Lord, and we've got many, many reasons to give thanks to him. So what I feel led to do today is preach a series of messages on this theme: thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So let's just loosen up a bit and let's put this into practice. Can I get you to say it? Thank you, Lord. Go ahead.
Thank you, Lord.
Can we be a little more happy about it?
Go ahead.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah. You know, thanks to God shouldn't be prompted, really. It should be a spirit within us. You know, as parents, sometimes we have to nudge our kids, prompt our kids, sometimes even whisper to them, you know, What do you say? When somebody's kind to you, what do you say? When somebody gives something to you, or what do you say? When someone helps you, we're supposed to say, thank you. It's a consistent teaching point for a lot of us as parents, because we want our kids to be respectful. We want our kids to be grateful. We want our kids to be thankful. But have you noticed that respect? Have you noticed that manners? Have you noticed that etiquette like that? Have you noticed on the decline, you know, in our culture? But have you noticed it also in the church too? You know, we of all people should be the first to exhibit thankfulness, right? We of all people have been saved by God and redeemed by God. We of all people should be grateful and have praise on our hearts to the Lord. And so let's make this something that happens in our lives, because we have a reason, great reasons to be thankful. And so I want to begin today for a moment with the thought, thank you, Lord, for making me. Thank you, Lord, for my life. I'm going to do something today I haven't done in a while. I'm going to preach just one point this morning, and I want to encourage you to come back tonight to hear the rest, okay? But we're looking at Psalm 139, and I ask you again, you should be already there, but Psalm 139 is where we are in the Scripture. This is one of the most iconic psalms, okay, in the Word of God. It's what you would call a wisdom psalm, a praise psalm. It was written by none other than King David. We were studying about King David in my Sunday school class this morning. This is a psalm that reflects the awe and worship and wonder that David had when he was in the presence of God. David was overwhelmed by the Lord. You know, we get overwhelmed by a lot of things, and we get overwhelmed by a lot of circumstances. We get overwhelmed by a lot of different people. But David, in his life, David was overwhelmed by the Lord. He was overwhelmed by the fact that God is in control of the universe. And if God is in control of the universe, David was even more overwhelmed by the fact that God was mindful of him. As small as he was, as a mere man as he was, that the God who created the heavens and the earth knew him. That just blew his mind. That should blow your mind as well. That should move your heart as well. That the fact that the God who created all that you have and all that you are would know you, would speak to you, would be with you, would desire intimate relationship with you. What a wonderful God we have. Amen. Thank you, Lord, right? Thank you, Lord. So I see some things in this text that I want us to receive and remember about his relationship with us today and even tonight. The first reality I want you to get about our Lord, our Maker, is this. This is what I want us to pick up this morning. I want you to see the reality of his design placed within us. The reality of his design placed within us. What do I want you to pick up here? God knows us intimately. God knows us intimately. He created us to know him. So let's focus for a moment on Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6. David writes, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You have hedged me behind and before, and you have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. You folks know that I'm a movie lover. Okay, and I want to ask you this question. You better tell the truth. How many of you have ever seen the film Mr. Holland's Opus? Anybody? Okay, that's what I thought. Listen, Mr. Holland's Opus, if you've never seen it, it's made in 1995. My mommy loves that movie. It's the only reason that I've even seen that movie, because my mom's a music teacher. This is a movie that had Academy Award nominations. Maybe you missed it in 1995. It was a phenomenal movie. It's about the life and career of a man named Glenn Holland. He was a struggling musician. He was trying to compose a symphony. That's what he wanted for his life, okay? He wanted to compose a symphony. He wanted to hear his music play before him. Well, you know, times were hard. money was even harder. And so he decided that, you know, there's got to be a way. I'm a starving musician. I'm going to need a way to provide for my family. And so he took a job as a high school music teacher. This job that he thought would be a temporary thing spanned over 30 years. And so the movie is about his life. So for 30 years, they spend his teaching career. And he was the type of teacher who doesn't just come into work and does his job to get through it. Rather, he portrayed a man who invested continuously in his students. I mean, he pours life out into these students and into these classes. And as he taught, quickly he realized that you know what? I'm teaching music in the public schools, and my mom would amen this. Music in the schools is undervalued and unappreciated and even resented. And so the story of the movie is this. A lot of people wanted him out of his position. And every year they would meet, should we keep the music program at this school? It's JFK High School. Should we keep the music program at this school? And every year it would get stronger and stronger of the opposition. Well, the moral of the story is this. So if you've never seen the movie, I'm telling you what happens. Okay, I'm sorry about that. But along the way, he realizes that, you know what, the music program isn't going to last. And so after 30 years of trials, they finally shut the music program down. School board votes in the end of the movie to end the program. Well, there's a scene in the film. This is what I'm trying to make a point of. There's a scene in the film, and you really need to see it if you haven't. Mr. Holland goes into his classroom, and he begins struggling. And he questions, this is the last day of school, he questions whether or not his life really mattered at all or not. And the film ends, this is the answer to that question. The film ends with him being greeted by hundreds and hundreds of students that he had impacted over the years. And guess what the students did? They came together and they played his symphony for him. It's one of the most powerful moments that you would see in a movie. Such a great movie. But I want to ask you, have you ever been where he was in that film? Have you ever been there before where you look back on your life and you ask, does any of this matter? Do I matter? Does anybody know? Does anybody care? Does anybody see me? Does anybody pay any attention to what I'm doing? I'm not going to lie. I've had seasons like that. Okay? I've had days like that as a husband, as a father, as a man, as a pastor. I believe King David, I think he could relate. As a matter of fact, he wrote about it. Okay, if he wrote about his struggles quite a bit in the Psalms, I believe King David had times in his own ministry, in his own reign, in his own life, where he wondered, do I matter? Does this life matter? And I'm sure that you've been there before too. And so if you've ever wondered, does my life matter? Does God care? Does he know where I am? Does he know what I'm going through? Psalm 139 forever answers those questions, doesn't it? In the first six verses, folks, in the first six verses, eight different expressions David uses that acknowledge the goodness and the care and the protection of God over his life. And so the message today is simply this. God knows you intimately, knows the very details of your heart and of your life. You and I have to realize the reality of his design is placed within you. God formed you. God made you. God knows you, the deepest parts about you. And this is the thing about our Lord. He knows the best about you. And he also knows the worst about you. He knows the deep desires of your heart. He also knows the darker areas of your life that you don't like to show off too much. God knows your fears. God knows your worries. God knows your sorrows. God knows your stresses and your hardships. See, God knows your temptations. He knows. But I want you to look at God's word here for just a moment. And David writes, David says, "Oh Lord, you have searched me." And what does it say after that? You have searched me and you know me. You have known me. You know what that means? You have searched me. It means to examine with pain. It means to examine with care. The Jewish people used that Hebrew word for search. It was like deep digging. You're like on a mining mission. You are trying to find, excavating, exploring. You are investigating. What that means? God, you have investigated my soul. You have investigated my life. You have deeply explored the roots of my heart. It means that God can see the very depths of you. God can see your heart. God knows the depths of your heart. Nothing in your life or mind can be hidden from God. Now, you know me, David wrote. You know me thoroughly. In so many words, what does that mean in verse 1? You know my character. You know about my integrity. And he writes, you know where I rest. You know where I sit down and you know where I rise. You know where I rest and where I rise. You know what goes into my days. I've heard it said not too long ago that God does not care about the minor things in your life. I heard that said. I want you to know God does care about the minor things in your life. Psalm 139:2 says very differently. It says, you know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. God even knows what you're going to think down the road. God even knows what you're going to think before you even think it. Isn't that amazing? God can discern the details of your day. God can distinguish with insight the human heart. Verses 3 and 4, he says, you comprehend my path. You comprehend my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. And verse 4 says, for there is not a word on my tongue. Oh, my goodness. There's not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it all together. God sees you when you labor. God sees you when you lay down. I want you to look at it this way. Every morning, I see my wife off to work. I take the kids off to school. Every morning there's that solemn, you know, remember it's that Micah is in somebody else's hand. Mally is in somebody else's hands. My wife is in somebody else's hand. And so I want you to picture it this way. God saw David off to work every day of his life. And God sees you off to work every day of your life. God saw David while he was at work. God saw David while he was coming home. As a matter of fact, God went with David on his way home. Verse 4 says, God knows my words. Now that's scary, isn't it? He knows what I'm going to say before I say it. And David concluded, you know it all together. So we learn here that God knows the depths of our hearts. God knows the details of our days. But God also knows the dangers that you face. And here's the greatest thing about that. God knows the defense and deliverance you need to carry you through. Does that touch your heart today? To say, thank you, Lord, for the reality of my design. That you know me intimately. Verses 5 and 6, he says, you have hedged me behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Verses 5 and 6 says that God completely surrounded David. David's soul, David's heart, it was on lockdown by the Lord's mighty hand. God's knowledge and power guarded against the enemies that David would face. And I want you to see that God's heart, God's hedge is before him, but also behind him, which means God is before you, which means he's faced off the enemies that you haven't even faced yet. He's already conquered them. He is our rock, our fortress, our defender, our deliverer. Psalm 18:2 so beautifully says that God is in whom we take refuge. He is our stronghold, our anchor. God knows us perfectly. God knows us intimately. And of course he does. You know, you look at this, and if you didn't know this today, it is a known fact. Of course he does. Who better to know you so well than the one who made you, designed you himself? God sees and he knows the entirety of your life. And today you need to know that he cares. He cares about you deeply. David said that my knowledge of you is limited, but his knowledge of him, that God's knowledge of him was so overwhelming, was so lofty, was so high. David said, I cannot even attain it. I cannot even reach it. I cannot even comprehend how much you care for me, how much you love for me. And so, beloved, I want you to see in the scripture today, God sees you, he knows you, he cares about you. It is a wonder, isn't it? It is a wonder that we should be thankful that such an awesome and great God who could be so busy doing all kinds of things, he could be thinking about a million other things, infinite number of things God could be caring about. Instead, God chooses to care about you. It's convicting, really, to know that God knows the heart of man, because we know our hearts too, don't we? Our hearts are often wicked. Our hearts are often in need of cleansing and refinement and forgiveness because of our sinfulness. But this should not just be a convicting thing. This should be a life-changing thing. This should be a comforting thing, really. Because as we read Psalm 139, 1 through 6 today, it reminds us that God's hand is upon his children at all times. And there's never a moment in your life where God is not with you, where God's hand is not on you, faithfully reminding you He is there. When David wrote in verse 5 that God had laid His hand upon him, I want you to think about this. He was referring to an Old Testament practice of bestowing a blessing on someone. This is how it used to be in their day, okay? A wise father would one day place his hands on his children. And this is what he would do. He'd place his hands on his children and he would speak words into their lives about who they would be, about what they would become. He would speak into them about what place they had in the family and what that meant. He would even go as far to prophesy and to proclaim, you know, what their future would hold. There was a lot into a name, okay? There was a lot into naming a child and placing your hands on a child. In so many words, the father was praying over his child, prophesying over his child, blessing his child, and he was placing emphasis on his name, on his life purpose. And in the same way today, your heavenly Father who created you, who made you, who formed you, as we read later in the scripture, who knit you together in your mother's womb, who delights in you, who desires you, who designed you, has over and over and over again declared his love for you in infinite ways. And in the most intimate way that God could care for his children, he would die. He would give himself on our behalf. Hear the word of the Lord today. God knows you intimately, for he designed you. Be thankful today. Be thankful unto the Lord today, because he knows you so well, but he also made you to know him. He made you to know him. Now, Rebecca this morning did such a wonderful job describing the love of God for you and the desire for him to know you in this 139th song. I want to reemphasize something that she said, and I hope that you got it, and if you didn't get it, you're going to get it now. She said, Christ died for all of the children he created. We are all beloved. We are all fearfully and wonderfully made children of God. We are all known by him. We are all looked out for by him. We are all loved by God with an unfailing and immeasurable love that endures forever. I hope today that you know it. I hope that today that you know the depth of his love for you. And I hope that you receive that today. That you walk in thanksgiving today. Now, most everybody, we ran out, sorry. But most everybody today should have gotten an index card. She came into the church. If you didn't, just grab something in front of you. You can write it like an envelope, something like that. No, it's not a ballot to vote me out of here. This is for the invitation. This is for the invitation. Okay? This is what I would like for everyone to try to do throughout this series. It's one thing to know that you are deeply loved by God. It's one thing to say, you know, that you're thankful to him. It's another thing to express it. One of the best ways that I know to express myself is to write. And I want to challenge you today during the invitation. I want to challenge you to do this. I want you to write a prayer of thanksgiving to the Lord. And I want you to be very specific about your prayer. I want you to ask God for anything. I want you to simply express to God thankfulness for making you, for knowing you, for being with you. It could be today, and this very well may be, it could be today that you're expressing that for the very first time. Maybe today you didn't even realize today that God cared that much about you. Maybe you didn't even realize that you cared that much about him. Maybe you've been reminded of that today. And so maybe this is your moment, your first time ever expressing thanksgiving to God. I want you to know the whole story. I want you to know that God so loves you that he would give his life for you. If he knows the inward parts of you, if he knows the depths of your heart and your soul, then he also knows the deepest and darkest things about you. He knows that you have sin in your life. He knows that it needs to be cleansed and forgiven. And you know what? He provided the way. I'm saying the way, not a way, the way for you to be forgiven, for you to be restored, for you to be brought in the right relationship with him. And so it could be today that you're expressing for the very first time thanksgiving to God, for you realize he paid the price for me. And he's yours if you would just give your life to him by faith. Maybe today you just want to express that thankfulness and say, thank you, Lord, for knowing me so well. Thank you, Lord, for guiding me. Thank you, Lord, for being with me. Thank you for your protection. I have a box up here. I'd like for you to place those in. I've got something creative I want to do with those, if you don't mind. But just simply during this invitation time, could you express your thanksgiving to God and place it in the box? Robbie, I'm going to ask you if you would just to play as they come. I'm going to pray for you, and then you respond as the Lord leads you, okay? Let me pray for you. Lord, I'm grateful, so thankful for the truth of your word today. And if someone here today needed to hear it and know it, we are fearfully and wonderfully made by a God who deeply loves us. And I'm thankful that you're not afar off. I'm thankful, Lord, that you are not hidden. I'm thankful, God, that you make yourself known to the world in our lives all the time. And God, I'm thankful today to know that you reach out to us. You pursued us. We're going to learn about that tonight. You pursued us, for we couldn't pursue our souls. We couldn't pursue our salvation. You, God, reached down to us. Thank you, Lord, for caring so much about us. Thank you, Lord, for interweaving us together. Thank you, Lord, for having your divine hand on our life. Thank you, Lord, for protecting us when we don't even realize that we're being protected. Thank you, Lord, for providing for us when we don't even give you credit for providing. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us when we think it's someone else's voice. Thank you, Lord, for giving us wisdom and guidance and strength throughout our days. Thank you, God, for the cross of Jesus Christ where he sacrificed himself. He gave himself for us so that we would know the depth of your love, so that we would know the depth of your relationship with us and your desire to be with us. Lord, we have so much today to give thanks for. May we not leave here empty word. May we be in awe in our hearts and in our lives for who you are and what you are about. Move freely during this time in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to respond, you do, okay? Just be obedient today.